Moore, and also Mike Hughes. And so Mike is coming by transfer of letter, and Lily's coming by profession of faith. So we'd like to ask Mike and Lily if they would to come forward, and also ask the elders if they would come forward. And I'm going to ask the questions that we have already asked them as a session, and they've agreed to, but I want to ask them before the congregation.
Just so I can get close to the mic.
Mike and Lily, I'm going to ask these questions of you before the congregation. First of all, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure, and without hope save in his sovereign mercy? And do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered in the gospel?
Yes.
And do you now resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ?
Yes.
And do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability?
Yes.
And do you submit yourselves to the government and discipline of the church and promise to study its purity and its peace?
Yes.
Now, congregation, you've heard them answer in the affirmative. They are members of our congregation. Let's bow as we pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we are so grateful to you that you give us the opportunity to serve as your people here in this church. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might seal us as we make this commitment to you. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you. At the culmination of our service today, we're going to ask them to come forward and ask you as a congregation to extend to them the right hand of fellowship. God bless you.
As we start our service of lessons and carols this morning, I'd ask you to join with us in hymn number 247, which is Once in Royal David's City. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses. So please stand and we'll sing this together along with the choir, Once in Royal David's City.
Thank you.
Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Isaiah 11, 1 through 4, the righteous reign of the branch. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked.
Oh, how the rose will bloom.
Luke 1, 26 through 35, birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God."
Luke 2, 1 through 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Luke 2, 8 through 16, the shepherds and the angels. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Matthew 2, 1 through 12, the visit of the wise men. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
John 1, 1 through 14, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light.
The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So, please join us in hymn number 125, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Mile, God has sent us a good. As we come to the time for our tithing offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:7, and it reads, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you just thanking you for the privilege of being able to offer something back to you that you've so graciously given to us. We ask, Lord, that you bless these tithes and offerings and bless each gift and each giver, Lord, and help us as a church to use them to continue your work here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Now turning your hymnal to number 223, the first Noel, and let's stand and sing it together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Now, I know that some of you may be looking at your watch right now and saying, you know, what's he going to do now? I remember hearing a minister one time, and he told his congregation, he said, you know, I don't mind if you're looking at your watches, but don't keep tapping them to make sure they're still working. Please turn with me to our scripture reading. This is found in John chapter 1, and it's verses 1 to 14, and this is the same scripture that was just read to us. And by the way, thank you so much, choir, and thank you, Jim and Carol, for all that you did. We appreciate it so much. It just puts us in the right frame of mind for the season, and we thank you. And thank you, John and Betty, and all of you that were Debbie, all of you that worked so hard to make this just a wonderful time today. But this is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and I'd like you to follow along with me if you have your Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. And he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, yesterday Annie and I had to come here to Asheville for an appointment. And while we were at that appointment, of course, everything everyone was very careful about, you know, the COVID-19, making sure everything was done according to what should be done, because it was a business office. And as we were leaving, one of the staff people turned around and looked at me, and her eyes were glistening. And she said, "Merry Christmas." And I just have to tell you, that warmed my heart. It just warmed my heart. You know, it seems like for years people have been trying to get us to stop saying Merry Christmas. They said it was insensitive, and it wasn't politically correct to say Merry Christmas. Well, what about the Muslims? What about the Jews? What about the atheists? What about all these other people? It was just a blessing to hear somebody say Merry Christmas. You know, our cancel culture is just trying to shut down just about everything. If you look back, did you notice that they first began by trying to keep us from meeting together for Easter? That we were not supposed to meet for Easter to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. More recently, that we were not supposed to meet together for Thanksgiving, that we were not supposed to give thanks to our God corporately, together, as people. And now the big push about Christmas. We shouldn't be meeting together and celebrating the birth of our Savior. But do you see a common thread through all this? You see something that's working its way all the way through, trying to stop us from recognizing our Savior, worshiping him, thanking him? And you wonder, what is it that they're so afraid of? You know, is Christianity that great a threat? Is the faith of people that great a threat? And I'll tell you right now, yes, it is. It's a great threat. Our faith in God is a threat. And why? Because faith produces hope. Some of you may be familiar with the movie came out some years ago by Clint Eastwood, and it was called Pale Rider. And in this movie, Pale Rider, there's a group of individuals. They were gold miners, and they were all camped out in this place called Carbon Canyon, and they were panning for gold, not getting much. But there was a big landowner that wanted that because he knew that he could get more gold out of that than what they were getting, and so he started to try to discourage, did everything he could to discourage the people in Carbon Canyon so that they'd want to quit and just give up and leave. But then, suddenly, this preacher appeared. And of all people, it was Clint Eastwood. This preacher appeared. And this man who was trying so hard to shut everything down started to yell at his staff. And he said, "You let a preacher into Carbon Canyon?" He said, "Those people were defeated, but now they have hope." And I don't know if Clint Eastwood really understood the significance of what he was saying there. And that is that those people who were forced to give up everything that they had and lose hope suddenly had hope. And hope meant that they would continue, they would move forward. They wouldn't give up. You see, that's the parallel to what Isaiah had to say when he said, "Those who walk in darkness have seen a great light." This was the hope. As bad as things were then, there was hope. And as we read that, it should touch us in our moments of weakness and our moments of darkness that we too can have hope. No matter how bad things appear, that we can have hope. You see, hope strengthens our resolve. Instead of wanting to quit or give up, we want to keep moving forward. Keep doing everything we can do to get to that point of victory rather than defeat. Right now, there's a hopelessness in America. Hopelessness drains our energy. It drains away our life vitality. It's one of the reasons why the suicide numbers right now are through the roof. And the greatest number of suicide increases are among teenagers. Young people that should have every reason to be hopeful about life. But they're losing hope. They're so discouraged over things that are happening, and they don't want to face the world. And they're ending their lives. But you see, hope restores life. It doesn't end life. It restores life, and it restores energy, and it helps us to focus on what's really important in life. You see, Christmas reminds us of hope. That's why so many people are trying to shut it down. We have the hope in our Savior, the hope that somehow he'll bring light into this darkness and help us, encourage us to be the people that we've been called on to be. We live in a world of darkness. We wrestle with this evil constantly. We sang a hymn some couple weeks ago, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And verse 3 says this. This was Martin Luther back in the 1500s. And he said this, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." See, that's filled with hope. No matter how bad things get, no matter how dark things seem, When God's light comes into the world, it brings hope. Christmas reminds us of that. It's like the fullness of time that Paul speaks about in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters." In the fullness of time, all these things had to play out. But in the end, the victory was the Lord's. And through him, it's ours. Victory. He's restored hope to those who believe in him. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Why do some people want to cancel Christmas? What's the big deal? How many years now have we as Christians celebrated Christmas, the birth of our Lord? And people say, well, it wasn't on December 25th. Who cares? Who cares? We're choosing that day to celebrate what happened because it reminds us of Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, and what he did when he came to earth. But why do some people want to just cancel it, just stop it? You know, to them, Christmas is just another holiday. And so what's the big deal about canceling a holiday? You know, we could cancel St. Patrick's Day. Who cares? But cancel Christmas? To them, Christmas is just another day. And as we read last week, John chapter 3, verse 19, people prefer the darkness over the light. He said, and this is the judgment. The lights come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. People are trying to cancel Christmas because it brings hope, because it's a testimony of what God has done. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, if you don't know that he's your Savior, why should you care whether people celebrate Christmas or not? Those people that are railing and screaming and yelling, do they look like they have the peace of the Lord in their hearts? I don't think so. You see, without Christ, there is no Christmas. No reason for us to celebrate. But because we know him, and because we love him, and because we believe that truly he is the Messiah, he is the truth, then we embrace him and we worship him and we celebrate him. And because we do, he gives us hope. He is the reason that we stand firm in our beliefs. Now, nobody can say what's going to happen in the weeks ahead or the months ahead, what 2021 is going to hold for us. But I can tell you this right now, God never fails. Whatever his plan is, it's a good one. It's a good one. And we're going to be able to rejoice in a God who loves us and who cares for us. Don't give in to those people who are trying to cancel Christmas. Don't believe what they're telling you. And whatever you do, don't stop wishing other people Merry Christmas. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Lord, again, we thank you so much for your love and for your mercy. And Lord, we thank you that we do have a day when we can celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your joy, so much so that it would spill out. And when people say happy holidays, we say Merry Christmas. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So now let's turn in our hymnal to number 226. We'll sing the first two verses here and then the third verse for a benediction response. Please stand and we'll sing these together. 226. I have it here somewhere. There it is. Good Christian men rejoice.
Before I give the benediction, let me just remind everyone to come forward and to greet Lily and Mike as new members of the church and give them the right hand of fellowship. Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.